It's no different, John, to like supermarkets or big companies. Amazon's the same. Once they control everything, they do, you know.
I know.
And that's the situation we have got ourselves into. As a lot of consumers, you've got to blame them, you know. They've done it with everything. They want cheaper things. But these people have so much control. It's crazy, isn't it?
They know that you can't fight back. They know that there's nothing you can do. I mean, if I contacted Amazon now and said, hey, what are you doing reducing the price of my book from £25 down to £17.54? They say, well, you know, that's all in the terms and conditions that you agreed to, you know. We can charge whatever price we want, kind of thing. It's just absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, so that's not your set price.
No, my price is £25, and they've reduced it to £17.54.
That's crazy.
Yeah, great. I don't know why. Why the hell would they do that? I mean, they're cutting their own throats as well.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking that.
Mm.
Always when a company or something's representing you, they want to get you the best price because it gets them more, you know?
But yeah, exactly.
Isn't that weird?
No, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy.
Especially without your knowledge.
Well, yeah, you just don't have any say. They do it all the time. I mean, I'm just looking at falsification of science. I see they've reduced that down to £18.51 now.
Hmm.
Right.
But, as you said, if they cut you off there, you're stuffed.
Mm.
Well, not stuffed, but it's a big problem for your business.
I live in fear of it, honestly, because I've heard of quite a few people who've been banned from Amazon for... And if they ever had some kind of a program that could read all the contents of all my books, then I'd be off straight away.
Yeah, that's right, and that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming. Yeah. The AI algorithms, to go through and find certain words. Boom. That's what they do. Isn't it? A shame, John. I don't know if you're aware of any, but it's, for example, just before we start anyway, it's, Facebook and YouTube started shutting everybody off, you're starting to get a lot of alternatives and you're on BitChute and all these and they're growing and they're doing well. This hasn't happened with books and authors, has it, so much? Or has it? Are there any alternative, book outlets that you could place your books in to sell that would be better for you than Amazon, or are they like the kingpin?
Well, Amazon, I mean, my sales would drop drastically. There are other platforms. There's one called Lulu, which my books are also on. The few and far between, places where you can actually put your books, if they're not mainstream published, and... Amazon is has 95% of the market, I would say.
Yeah, this is what I was covering on some podcasts. This is not a good thing when companies have so much of the market, with whether it's books or food. They control our lives. And at first, growing up or whatever, it's a good thing because you're getting all this cheap stuff. Costco and all this stuff, and it's great, right. But then after a while, you start to see that this is a problem. Especially with how they're threatening food shortages and stuff. Now, well, these people control everything, it's a real shame.
It is.
With that. Yeah, I was wondering if that was going to be something we would see more. I definitely have talked to, a few authors like that have been cut off Amazon, actually.
Yeah. There's a guy in it.
They might be still on, but they're in very limited. But yeah, it just depends. Mm. But they could just cut people off completely.
Definitely. Yeah,
But you don't want to censor yourself as an author. You want to have that freedom to write the books that you want to without worrying about if it's going to get bloody cancelled. That means that you're not doing what you're naturally wanting to do. You know,
freedom, eh? What's that?
Yeah, you're in those. you're restricting in a way because you're worried that it's like being on Facebook and stuff. They're going to block me and ban me for doing a meme or saying something.
It's exactly that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, shall we crack on because I've got a limited time?
Will tonight, John. It's really just a it won't be a long one tonight anyway because different to our usual ones. We're just going to promote the book, really.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Go through really all the bullet points. So we'll be out of here before 12 your time.
Oh, great. Yeah,
a little bit before, because this was just a podcast to promote the book. And then hopefully, what are we, maybe in May and the next few weeks or so, we continue just on with the other podcasts.
Yeah.
If you can do that, that would be great. All right, I'll start it now.
Okay.
All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. It's Thursday night, 28th of April, 22, here in Sydney, Australia. Adam plugging in here for the Kraz Files podcast. Joining me tonight is author and researcher John Hamer. And very exciting podcast we got tonight. We're going to hammer through, sorry, John, no pun intended, we're going to hammer through John's new book. Yeah. And that is Welcome to the Masquerade, Prelude to the Great Reset. Now, this is up on paperback. And we're just having a pre-show chat about this and everything. But we've been discussing John's new book and over the last few podcasts and how much, you know, it's taken a while to come out. There's been a lot of things here. We're going to chat about that tonight, how this all came about. But finally, it's out and up there. And you did it, John, so that's fantastic. And we've talked about it so much in the last shows. And you know what? I was going to say as well, you know, like, you know, with the falsification of science and stuff, these massive books that you've done, they're so big. And I'm assuming that so many people are still getting access to those books anyway, that, you know what, it doesn't matter if this new book takes a little bit more time because the other ones are so huge. And I feel like we were just talking about that anyway, you know, that you just managed to get that one out. But, you know, that's all right. Things take time and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, it's all come out. And that is fine. So as I said, folks, we're going to discuss the mechanics behind the book tonight. I'm going to go through this with John, but it's fantastic to see that this book has landed. And then we'll also chat about how folks can get the book and promote it for John as well, as we do. And I know talking to the General, hi to the General and Andy over there at Real News Australia, John will be on with the General. And Lee said he's going to buy the book, and I know a lot of people are looking out for it, so that's really good that it's finally out. And everything's up on my website, krazfiles.com, so please enjoy. Plenty going up and lots of podcasts. I do Night Watch podcasts now for the members and plug over so much that's coming out. It's unbelievable times, and so plenty to go through, and all our social media links are up there, Telegram and BitChute and everything, so please enjoy. Contact me anytime. And I'll put John's details up in the podcast description as well. Thanks to my members. You guys are awesome. And you can support me over on Kraz Files for a cup of coffee a month. It helps me to go forward here into this year. Every year counts that we can continue to move forward with so much censorship. But John, welcome on deck, buddy. It's been a big year. 2022 already, and as I said, do you feel like that as well, that we were just chatting and promoting your last book and going through that, and now definitely. Even though it's been a bit of time, you've finally got this out, but I feel like that's okay, that, you know, you can't rush these things, and as you said, these are huge books, so
well, this one is too, Adam. This one's almost 800 pages.
800 pages, folks. So, you know, no wonder.
6x9 format, a 6x9 format. So it's a big book. It's a big book.
Incredible, John. Before we get into the book and the mechanics behind it, which is where I wanted to go tonight, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Great.
All okay since the last time we chatted, just still plugging on?
Yeah.
I'm sure you're working on other books.
Well, no, actually, I'm having a bit of a... I'm taking a bit of a break. This one's been a bit of a...
a bit of a hermit.
It's the last kind of 3 months It's been a nightmare, the proofing side of it, because it's actually, as you know, Adam, it's not just my work. This is written with my friend Shannon in the States, so it's a joint authorship, and actually proofing it together with an 8-hour time difference. We only have a very small window to actually, you know, compare notes and exchange things. So everything has taken a full 24 hours. So, you know, if any changes had to be made, if obviously they're going to be approved by the other person. And then, you know, the whole cycle takes like 24 hours because of that small time window. So it's been the proofing side of it has taken way, way longer than we thought it would. But we got there in the end. And then we have one or two publishing problems as well. For example, again, the lady who does the publishing for me, she's had problems with Amazon, with the formatting and all sorts of things. It's because of the size of it, trying to get it into the right format has just been a bit difficult. But credit to her, she managed it in the end. But again, it wasn't a smooth process. But it's all good now. That's the main thing.
Yeah, we were just discussing before we came on about Amazon and the stranglehold they have, with this, and how hard it can be, and how they, you know, they lower the price of your book already from what you wanted to sell it for down to this price that I'm seeing now, $17.54, and that's not with your say so. They just do that. So we're just discussing that a little bit. That we'll talk about YouTube and all this and how there's other platforms, but with books, it's a bit hard. They do have such a stranglehold. Everything's going to be about Amazon, believe me, because they just sell everything. And we can see these big companies are starting to gobble up everyone. In front of them and around them, you know, and this is not a good thing for any of us, because there's no choice and there's no other people who can operate and have small businesses and things. And they make it's always hard for them, but, at least the book's up there, I guess. And, as you said, that's such a big book. Explain that a little bit, John, like, such a huge book, just before I wind back to how it happened, but with an 800 page book, what do you were talking there about Amazon and reformatting and everything, how does this work, like when you want to present that to them, what do they put you through to get that up on Amazon and have it all up there for sale?
It's all an automated process. There's no human involvement from Amazon. It is just a process that you go through on their website, their author's website, you know, not on the normal kind of just regular customer website. There is a process to go through. I don't know how to do it. That's why I employ this lady to do it for me, who is, you know, that's what she does as a profession. She publishes books on Amazon. It is a complex process. As I say, I don't really know the ins and outs of it, but it is all an automated thing. You actually, you know, you take a Word document or a PDF and you stick it in there, and then you have to adjust it and do all the, get it all into the correct formats. There's certain, only certain formats that you can actually put it in when you're publishing through Amazon. And, you know, you have to pick one of those, and that's as much as I know about the process, to be fair, you know. Otherwise I would do it myself. And I know a lot of authors do it themselves, but, I choose not to because I'm not very technical.
Well, it's hard enough running your websites and stuff, John. I mean, you can't believe Amazon, like these, how technical this is all behind them. There's no one running it anymore. No. It's just all AI stuff, you know. It's incredible. Exactly. It's amazing, you know. It's a silly thing to say, John, but you know, it's like when you used to develop photos in the darkroom. It was such a process, and now everything's digital. But I think that's people don't realize what goes behind putting books up and writing them and having websites and stuff, because people are so used to getting things fast, you know, they just go here, go there, and there's so much for free now, and people are so used to social media and downloading what they want and doing what they want, you know, and they don't understand that there's blood, sweat and tears behind everything that you're doing and I'm doing here, you know, and it's not all for free, you know, it takes time and energy and sweat and tears and
money.
And there's a whole process behind just not even, if we're talking about just not even writing a book, but actually getting it up, you have to actually employ someone to get it up there. That's a complex thing. Yeah. It's not like you're just writing a book and I'm just going to go on Amazon, log in John Hamer and just put it up and then whack a picture in. No. It's a whole process behind there. It's a complicated thing, you know?
That's something else as well, getting the images, because there's quite a few images in the book, getting those actually aligned correctly and spaced and all the rest of it. Apparently that's quite tricky, but as I say, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but I just know that, you know, it's tricky enough that I can't do it myself, basically.
Here we have John. Welcome to the Masquerade, Prelude to the Great Reset. And I'll just cover the bullet points here on this for our listeners. Geopolitical authors and researchers John Hamer and Shannon Rowan team up to expose a massive hoax second to none in history. In this book, they will take the reader on a journey deep down the rabbit hole while exploring a wide variety of political and esoteric topics, unmasking the main players and their control agendas at the heart of the world's great masquerade of 2020 and 2022, to expose the perpetrators of these unrelenting crimes against humanity committed under the pretense of safeguarding public health, as in solving any great mystery they pose and hope to fully answer the question, cui bono, or who benefits. So in this dense treatise, Shannon and John provide unique and compelling insights into germ theory, which we've been covering so much, in viral paradigm, Rockefeller medicine, big tech, big pharma, partnerships, eugenics, agendas, social engineering programs, financial resets, and much more, while also providing essential information to help readers fight the New World Order regime. So as it continues here, this encapsulates your vast knowledge of all this work, John, and it says it's an astounding collaboration not to be missed. And we don't want to miss this. We want to read these kinds of books and share them around and get them out there. Let's talk a little bit, John, about the planting of the seeds of this book. How did this come about, the book? Because I know you were in the US a little bit and you've met Shannon and you were over there staying for a little while in this beautiful place you were telling me. Talk about the beginnings of the book and where you went and how it sort of all came about.
Yeah, well, Shannon first contacted me about 3 years ago. She just emailed me. She'd seen a YouTube presentation that I'd done and she was really enamored by it. So she just emailed me and we just kind of got chatting by email. And then eventually we had phone calls and we got on really well together. And, you know, we became friends over the internet. It was really, really good. You know, I mean, it was nothing, it was just friendship. It was nothing else. She's got a partner. She's very happy with him. And I was married at the time. So, you know, there was nothing like that. It was just pure friendship. But then I arranged to go over and see her. We talked about writing a book together. We didn't even know what it was going to be about at that point in time before I went. And then just as I actually booked flights to go in April of 2020, which just happened to coincide with, the beginnings of the lockdowns. So my flight was cancelled, and it was cancelled for another month, then it was cancelled for another month, and it went on and on and on and on. And originally, we were just going to write a book about the encroachment of AI and transhumanism. That's what it was going to be about originally. But of course, with the COVID nonsense coming along, that changed everything. I eventually got out there towards the end of 2020. I think it was September, October. I was there for about 5 weeks. And we talked about maybe doing a book about, you know, the current world situation, because that was kind of foremost in everybody's mind at that time. And we decided to do that. And we began writing it probably... we probably began writing it immediately. So kind of back end of 2020, and I was still in the throes of finishing Falsification of Science at that time as well. So I was kind of writing two books at once. So it's taken about 18 months to get it out there. But yeah, I mean, we decided to look at the COVID situation, you know, the bigger picture, if you like, not just the COVID itself, but look at, you know, how it's been in the planning, the lead up to it, you know, the actual how it was deployed, and just about every aspect of it all that you could ever think of, and anything that's connected to it, and how it all was put together and hung together, and you know, finishing it off with where we believe it's going from here. And we're actually going to do a follow-up, which we're not going to start it until probably the back end of this year, because we're just, you know, we're absolutely burnt out with doing this one. But the next one is going to be kind of where we're going after this in terms of, you know, the world geopolitical situation, how the Welcome to the Masquerade, the COVID nonsense is leading up to Agenda 21. It's like, you know, where we're going in the next 10 years. Because as everyone out there probably knows, that, you know, Mr. Schwab, Klaus Schwab, said by 2030, we'll own nothing and we'll be happy. You know, and this is exactly where they're taking us, and that is in, you know, that his is it's his encapsulation of the Agenda 21 program. That is exactly where we're going if we allow it. And that's the key thing, if we allow it. But then from then onwards, you know, when they reach a point where they've got us totally under control, that's when the AI and the transhumanism agenda is going to kick in. And you know, this is all what the Great Reset is all about. It's kind of putting us all into a position where, you know, we can't fight back. That is exactly what they want, because they're terrified of us. I mean, let's not make any bones about it. And this is why they're constantly trying to control us, and why they've been trying to control us for centuries and millennia. And they've tried different ways of doing that, but they always live in fear of one day, you know, we, the human race, wakening up and them, you know, being out of their control. So this is why we're going where we're going, or they hope, you know, where they hope we're going, and towards transhumanism. Because once transhumanism occurs, then they will have total control over us. And we know that the patents exist. Out there, they're on their internet. You know, anybody can look them up. They've got patents that can mind control us. They can actually physically control our minds and physically control our bodily movements if they want to do that. And, you know, I believe that that's what a lot of the vaccination stuff has been about. I think they're putting stuff into people's bloodstreams that will, you know, this nanotechnology that will allow them to do that. It sounds like something out of an H.G. Wells story, but it's absolutely fact. This is exactly where we're going unless we stop them. So yeah, that was a pretty long-winded answer, mate. I'm sorry, but
No,
you know, that was kind of the background to the book, and you know, and where it's going to go afterwards. We're gonna follow it up with, you know, kind of like the next in the series, if you like.
So, how was your time over there, John? And when you met Shannon, and how was that? Did that help? Did that help with the book actually going and meeting this person that you had that friendship with online for so long? Did
That's
how
right.
was the experience with having that online experience? Like, you know, a lot of us have these close relationships online and our social media channels, and they write to you and they listen to the podcasts and they're always on the website. How was it to actually go and meet them,
In
meet her
reality, that
in
was
reality,
great.
and how did this help the actual book?
Well, obviously we kind of roughly planned it out while I was there. The situation was that at the time when I first started talking to Shannon, when we'd first decided to meet, she actually lived in Arizona. She lived in this remote desert. It wasn't even a community. She lived like a mile, her nearest neighbor was 2 miles away. So she lived in this remote place in the Arizona desert because she suffered from something called electro hypersensitivity, and it's really severe. She cannot be anywhere where there's a Wi-Fi signal. She cannot be anywhere where there's a cell phone signal because it just affects her body so badly. In fact, she's actually written a book in tandem with this, about that situation, about what they call canaries, the people who suffer from this. There's about 10% of people in the world that suffer from it, apparently. But yeah, I'm getting off the point. So yeah, she lived out in Arizona, and then they decided to, the electric company out there decided to run electricity pylons through the valley, the desert valley where she lived. And so they had to move because she couldn't, you know, as we know, electricity pylons produce masses of dirty electricity. Well, she couldn't be anywhere near the damn thing. So they had to move. So they found this little kind of eco community in Northern California, in the forests up there. And so in between me first meeting her and actually going out there, they actually moved, 2,000 miles to Northern California. And they lived in this little eco community where there's limited electricity. It's only solar power. It is very much living off grid. So yeah, that's where I visited them. Like I said, I spent 5 weeks there. It was amazing. I never wore a watch all the time I was there. It was like going back to live 200 years ago. You used to go to bed when it went dark. You got up when it came light. You worked on the farm for 3 or 4 hours every morning, milking the goats, tending the crops, because it was all more or less self-sufficient apart from in meat, but certainly vegetables and fruits. So they were totally self-sufficient in that. So, yeah, it was just like turning the clock back 200 years and living that kind of back to nature lifestyle. And it was great. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it would have been hard, and it is hard for them to live in that kind of environment on a permanent basis, but they've no choice because of Shannon's, disability, if you like. So yeah, it was an interesting experience, and I would definitely repeat it again. In fact, we're kind of making tentative plans for me to go out there again, but the problem is at the moment, the States is not letting anyone in who is unvaccinated. And of course, I fall into that category. So I can't go at the moment. But as soon as that restriction is lifted, if it ever is, then I'll go back there. She obviously can't come over to England because she can't travel on a plane, because planes are just full of electronics. And it would, it would almost kill her, if not actually kill her. Yeah. So, yeah, we planned it out. We planned it out while I was there, just roughly in our heads. And then when I came back, we started writing it. We started slowly, and then it built up as the year went on. But it took us about 18 months to write it in total, yeah.
Yeah, a whole journey behind the book, John, which is...
Absolutely. It's been an amazing couple of years, really. Yeah. With everything else that's been going on in the background as well,
Yeah. Do you feel like that... that adventure that you went on and everything that happened and that journey imprinted in the book? Do you feel like that personal imprint is there from the connection that you had with her and that time that you spent there that is in your writing in the book?
Not really, no. I mean, we don't touch on anything other than, the facts to hand, really. But it was an amazing adventure because, another aspect to it was... at the time when I went in September 2020, obviously it was pre-vaccination, so you didn't have to be vaxxed. But the America wasn't allowing anyone into America if they'd been in Europe in the last 2 weeks, in the previous 2 weeks. So I actually flew out to Dominican Republic in the West Indies and in the Caribbean. And I stayed there for 2 weeks and then flew to California from there. So it was a real trek of a journey, both there and back. I had to fly to Madrid, first of all, and then from Madrid to Dominican Republic. And I spent 2 weeks in the jungle there, in Dominican Republic, in a little shack in the jungle, which was an experience. So then I flew out from Dominican Republic. I flew to Newark, New Jersey. Newark, New Jersey to San Francisco, San Francisco to Medford in Oregon, which is their nearest airport. And then coming back, I had to do, I went a completely different route. I went from Medford, Oregon to Seattle to Vancouver, and then Vancouver back to London, and got the train back up home from London. So it was a real, real long, tiring adventure, but it was certainly a it really was a life-changing experience, actually.
What was it like in the Dominican Republic?
It was absolutely dreadful. It was a horrible place.
This is, as you said, is the West Indies.
Yeah. In the Caribbean, yeah. It's, I mean, unfortunately, I didn't realise this at the time when I booked to go, but it was the rainy season. So it absolutely, you can imagine being in the jungle in the tropical rain. It was just, it just rained every single day of the 2 weeks I was there. Not constantly. I mean, it did stop occasionally, but when it rained, my goodness, it really did rain. And I was just in this little shack in the, no, I wouldn't say the middle of nowhere. I wasn't that far from the nearest town, but it was quite an experience.
I'm wondering if some of these countries are better to be in. John, a lot of people are going to Mexico and places, but not there. But
No. So, yeah, like Mexico, I think is supposed to be pretty cool about everything. Yeah,
yeah, a lot of restrictions in the Five Eyes countries, and Australia is one of those, and the UK as well.
Yeah,
obviously. We're all part of that.
Yeah, all the New World Order countries. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so we copped the worst.
Definitely. Well, you guys did over there, that's for sure. I mean, you had it really tough, didn't you?
Yeah, it's insane now, John. Like, just to create a side note, it's absolutely mad. This dictator, Daniel Andrews, he's still in power in Victoria. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they pushed all these teachers, for example, and workers, but let's just look at school teachers, into getting these jabs or you don't have a job.
Yes.
And so thousands of teachers walked down and left, which left the industry, you know, in dire straits.
Yeah.
And now what's happened is now he's saying that you don't have a job unless you get a third jab. So now you've got 2,500 teachers leaving again.
Right.
With a situation that's already, you know, falling to pieces. And you just, you sit here and you just can't believe it. So, but we're not having that in the rest of Australia. They're calling teachers back and they're calling people back to work.
Right.
So everything's fairly normal now everywhere else. Yeah, but this guy, is continuing with the restrictions and everything, but, still funny to travel and all of this, still weird things going on. So the psychological operation continues. Just going back to your trip there and what it was like in Oregon, was it?
It's Northern California.
California.
But the nearest airport was just over the border in Oregon, yeah.
Right, yeah. I have some guests I speak to there around that area. Yeah, yeah. And we've been talking on some shows about, you know, modern life and cities and how fast it is and fear and how the system around us feeds on fear and it keeps us in a constant fear state. We talk about it a million times with you.
Yes.
And we were discussing this the other night on the show, and I was just looking at all the headlines the other day and how they put fear in the headlines, you know, shock, horror, death, all this. And then it's clickbait and you click on them and you go into the article and it's just not anything. So they're using fear headlines to get people sucked in, John. And we're kind of discussing about how almost so many people seem to, I don't know if you can explain this better. We were talking about with the general on his podcast the other night, how people seem to want fear. It's really weird, you know, how we hear around everybody wanting to have COVID. And finally, when they get COVID, they tell everybody in the groups that I've got COVID. I had COVID. And I was sort of saying that, you know, maybe it's because, you know, it's like, it's because it's what everyone wants to hear, you know, it's like,
virtue signaling.
Yeah, it's like you want to be around people who are doing the same thing. So you want to be around people who are getting the jabs and you want to be around people who are talking about COVID. So it's like a cult. Of this. So we're having a whole big discussion on it and we're talking about fear and how fear drowns you and keeps you controlled and everything like that.
Definitely.
You know, and bringing up a lot of points. And I was just mentioning when you get out of all of this and you go out camping or you go to remote areas, possibly what you did off grid, and you don't even have a watch or a phone. You don't know what time it is. As you said, you go to bed when it's dark and you wake up when the light gets up and you have to work for your food and work to get things and everything. And you go back to that lifestyle that, you know, our ancestors had.
Exactly.
Then suddenly COVID, it's not that it doesn't exist. It's beyond ridiculous. And
yes,
that experience for you, and you've probably been through this so many times, but when you come back to the airports and you go back home and everything, and you watch the news, it's a big hit, isn't it? You sort of think, what the hell is going on, and where have I been living, and should I go back to this place?
It was actually quite a culture shock to come back into civilization, if you like. I mean, it was so weird, you know, like you say, you know, you arrive at the airport and it's all, suddenly everything's back to normal again, you know, well, not COVID-wise, but I meant in terms of, you know, the way that we normally live, you know, it was back in that. But of course, you know, while I was traveling both directions, there were so many restrictions because of the travel restrictions that they'd introduced because of the COVID nonsense. You know, it was a real weird journey both ways anyway, you know.
Yeah, I'm thinking about your return trip, you know, after you spent time on the off-grid on the property and then you had to go back to the airports. It would have been like, holy, what the hell?
I know. It was because, you know, and it was such a circuitous route because there weren't the same number of flights available. You know, they really cut down on the flights. So I was having to go, like, really strange route back home. I couldn't fly direct from San Francisco, for example. And it was just crazy. And Canada, I went through Canada, you know, transited through Vancouver Airport. And that was like being back in the Soviet Union, I'll tell you. I mean, it was just horrendous, you know, just to transit through the airport. It took me, goodness knows how long, I had to go through all the immigration process, and you know, I was grilled by about five different sets of people. It was just horrendous, and none of them smiled. You know, it just reminded me of the Soviet era, you know, when you were, you know, treated like cattle, and that's exactly what it was like. No humour. The place itself, Vancouver Airport, was like a ghost town. There was only two flights out that day, one of which was mine. So you can tell, you know, how empty it was, and none of the shops or the restaurants, cafes were open. You know, it was just, you know, there's nowhere to get food. It was just, it was like going back into the, like I said, the Soviet era or the Third World or something. You know, it was just dreadful. So, yeah, the whole experience was really, really strange.
Absolutely. Because you have a unique experience. That's what I wanted, why I wanted to tie it in with your book,
right?
Because you actually, you were kind of going over to I was wondering how this all played out. Mm. You actually were traveling when all this COVID psyop hit, so.
Exactly.
In your journey to start the book and all of this and everything that happened, you were going through all this madness at the same time. Yeah. You know, it is absolutely crazy because I haven't been near an airport, and I think I've heard that, you know, if you want to sort of, if people want a sort of vision of the future, just go to airports, because that's a good indication of what the future's sort of going to look like, you know? If you look at an airport, as you said, John, if you look at airports when they're operating like that, that's a dire, dark, grey, dim, prehistoric sort of look at what... It's really communism, if you will, like that. It's communism, and that's what they want the future to be like.
Exactly.
That's what they want us to be, all living under technology where there's no smiles, there's no happiness, there's no love anymore. The human spirit has been beaten away and sold off, and we're all connected to the AI beast grid, sort of this Blade Runner sort of thing, and it's always raining and grey, and there's all this sex and violence and artificial reality everywhere, you know, that kind of thing, and everyone lives in these high-tech environments, and everybody's miserable. That's the communist wet dream, isn't it?
John? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
It really is. China.
Let me just tell you about one little incident on the journey back, you know, the long, long journey back. When I boarded my flight at Vancouver, well, first of all, I was sat at the gate, you know, you do in the lounge area there. And I thought, I wonder if the plane's been cancelled because there was nobody there. I was like just one or two people, and it's like getting to flight time. And I'm thinking, well, the plane's there. I could see it out the window. Air Canada, you know, big jumbo jet thing. So anyway, and eventually they called us, and you know, we had to go through. And there was only like a real handful of people, and we walked down the air bridge onto the plane. And I'd asked specifically for a window seat. Okay, so I was on, I think it was seat number 50A. I thought, great, A, yeah, that's definitely a window seat. So I walked down the air bridge onto the plane, and the first thing that struck me when I got on the plane was I thought I'd blundered into a brain surgery convention or something, because all the air crew staff were all wearing these blue coveralls with not only face masks but visors as well. And also, like, caps on the head, you know, like surgeons wear those plastic, elasticated caps that cover all your hair up. So they were all dressed like bloody brain surgeons. So I thought I'd stumbled into a blooming brain surgery conference by mistake. So anyway, I went and I said, oh, you know, that your seat's down there. I thought, yeah, of course it bloody is. Where do you think it's going to be? Where the pilots sat, you know. So anyway, they sent me down there. I got to seat 50A, and it was just a blank wall there. There was no window. So I said to one of the brain surgeons, I said, I asked for a window seat. I said, could I get moved, please? Because, you know, I don't want to sit with a blank wall next to me. I don't like that. And she said, oh, no, we can't move you. COVID regulations. I said, well, there's plenty of spaces. Yes, but we're not allowed to move you. I said, oh, right, okay. So I waited a while, and then I called someone else and said, look, I want to move. I don't want to sit, you know, where there's no window. It makes me feel uncomfortable. And so they kind of reluctantly allowed me to move. But I'll tell you this, there were 14 aircrew on the plane and 20 passengers on a 407-seater plane. Right? So, yeah, and they were quibbling about moving me. It was just totally ridiculous. And we had to wear masks. This is the only time I've ever worn a mask when I was on that journey. I've never worn it, you know, other than in a plane. Okay, I had to wear a mask on every single plane. But on this one, they went a step further. When you were eating, and the food was disgusting, by the way, but when you were eating, you had to cover your mouth up after every forkful. Okay, so you had to put your mask back on while you chewed it. And they were standing over you, watching you while you did that. It was just an incredibly ridiculous, bizarre experience. The most bizarre experience I've ever had, in fact. So, yeah.
What flight was that, John?
Sorry?
What airline was that? Out of Canada?
Air Canada, yeah.
Oh, my goodness me.
It was just bizarre, honestly. You know, you couldn't have made it up. You really couldn't. You know, it was just crazy.
God, isn't it amazing, John, the satanic Freemason, you know, pedophiles behind this? They're making human beings do this to each other.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what I've been saying, that it's all our fault in a way for putting up with this. Well, how could anyone put up with that? How could any human being? There's billions of us.
Yeah.
You know, if we just wake up and understand our full potential and just stamp our just feet say and no. say no to this, it's all over. Yeah, exactly. And you can't believe that they can, and it not only that this can happen, but also that other human beings can be used against us to implement such a terrible system. Just to get on a plane, that is unbelievable. And we all saw pictures of those, that theatre, the COVID theatre with the, as you said, the brain surgeon, must have felt like you walked onto the set of some weird horror movie or something from the 1980s.
Absolutely.
You know, and we all saw pictures of that, and people were telling me, no, that's fake. you know, like people flying from Asia or wherever, some countries, and they all had the blue suits on and the goggles and everything like that. That's not happening. But you witnessed, you actually witnessed that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Did you feel like you were having a bad nightmare? That you were going to wake up and that's how you...
Yeah. I mean, I was quite disorientated anyway because I'd been traveling all day by that point just to get to Vancouver, and then I got the 10-hour flight home, you know.
But for someone like yourself, John, and our listeners and me, we know there's we understand and we know that there's no virus, that it's all a psyop, that there's nothing there. Yeah. So how did that make you feel when you're around passengers who actually probably believe they're scared that there is a virus, so they're following the protocols, but you understand yourself as an individual man traveling through these systems that there's actually no virus there, that this is all fake, and you must be running through your brain, this is surreal.
Definitely. I mean, it was on that flight where the inspiration for the title came to me, Welcome to the Masquerade. So I just thought, this is just like a bloody masquerade, you know. And then I thought, well, you know, the tie-in with the mask and the masquerade, you know, the mask thing, the title just came to me, not immediately, but I thought it's definitely got to be something with masquerade in it. And then at a later time, I just thought, yeah, Welcome to the Masquerade just fits the bill, because it is, it's just a bloody masquerade, the whole thing. So yeah, it was inspirational in that sense. It led me to the title. I just thought,
Is it something that you cover in the book, John, and or something that you're interested in covering more, because it just baffles me as to why humans have put up with this and how we are being attacked in this way, you know? It's obvious that the system, you know, doing all of this, you know, it knows us so deeply, but, you know, isn't it unbelievable if we take away the actual, you know, situation, like, and what the governments and, you know, and everything are doing to us. But you just look at how people have acted during this, and how so many billions of people have taken it and got the jabs and everything, and they've just fallen into line barely within 2 years. I mean, it barely took like a year or so, and they just had the, you know, most of the planet just hammered into this communist line so quickly over the threat of this make-believe virus that's not even there. And if most people just looked around them, they would see that there's nothing there, but it was just the media that was scaring them, and it created this belief. That's why I always say it's the power of suggestion. It's like a hypnotist. And, you know, these billions of people and millions of people, hundreds of millions of people around the world, they're still there today. I've been out today and they're wearing masks. They're still scared and they're double jabbed. They've done everything that they've been told to do, you know, and they've got the two jabs, they've got the boosters, they're social distancing, and they're wearing the mask, and they're still petrified that they're going to get one. And now they're telling you in the media that this year we're going to be facing a twindemic. That's a mix of the fake COVID virus and the annual flu, the influenza fake virus. So they're bringing back the annual influenza virus that disappeared for a couple of years, John, and they're mixing it in with the fake COVID-19 virus, and they're calling it a twindemic now. And these people still believe it. It's unbelievable. How did we arrive to this destination in time, John, where people are so gullible and just so unable to come to their own conclusions? Where's that belly instinct gone? Where's that fight to survive gone that our ancestors may have had? What's going on here?
Well, what I think, Adam, is that it's taken a long time for them to get to this point, but they have been working on us for a long number of years. And there's a guy called Yuri Bezmenov, who was a Soviet defector in the 1980s, who gave a famous interview. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that is absolutely fascinating. And he actually tells exactly what the communists do and how they do it, and the fact that it was already taking place in the Western world as well. And this was from the 1980s. And he describes in that 1980s interview, and I would encourage any of the listeners to look that up, because it is available on video channels, probably not YouTube, but it may well be. It's a fascinating interview with a guy who was a senior Soviet official, and he laid it out step by step exactly how communism works and how it takes over the mind of the people and eventually wears them down so that they become automatons, you know. And this is exactly where it's going if we don't stop them. And this is what the next book will be about. And it's called Transhumanism, AI Transhumanism. But it exactly, this Bezmenov guy, he really, really does lay it on the line. And he says exactly what the Soviets have been doing for decades and what they were doing to undermine the Western society as well. And it's working. And now it's even more open and it's more in your face. But they are destroying the human psyche, in effect, and dumbing us down to the point where we become absolute slaves to whatever they desire. And they do that through the media. They do it through the destruction of families. They do it through, they do it through medicine. They do it through every aspect of social life you can imagine is under attack by them. And this is how they're doing it. And this is going to continue and continue. And that's increasing exponentially as we go along. So it's got to be stopped. But yeah, I think that's the background to it. That's how they've done it. They've dumbed down everything, haven't they? Education, they've made us dependent on pharmaceutical medicines. It's just a literal destruction of humanity that is going on.
Yeah, an incremental breaking down.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like. And I was covering this last night on the Nightwatch podcast that now they're starting to come out and they're talking about how the pandemic of the future isn't really the pandemic that what we've been through now. It's a different one now. And they're basically saying that the next pandemic is going to be the pandemic of long COVID. So basically people who have had COVID-19 or tested positive for it, within the next 12 to 24 months, they're going to start developing these symptoms. And so what we have to do is we have to start coming up with new vaccines and things like that to try and help these people. I'm not kidding, folks. I covered this last night. It's unbelievable. So COVID-19, they originally told us was even less than a flu. And then they told us that the variants were even less than that. We actually had our prime minister saying, don't clog up the hospitals. If if you've got a sore throat or whatever, have some lemonade and a lozenger and stay home. So that, all of this. And now they're coming out after everyone's got the injections and they're basically saying that if you had COVID, well, now they've changed the whole thing that, in the next 12 months or whatever, you're going to start getting heart palpitations and chest pains and myocarditis and heart attacks and all of this. And that's just because that you... Yeah. had COVID a year or 2 years ago, it's not the jabs.
Exactly.
So, that's how
they... Of course, we know that it is, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's how they're covering themselves, John. But
very clever, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean, the whole thing is so diabolical. Yeah, and again, this is what, what the book covers absolutely every single aspect of this that you could possibly imagine. We talk about we even talk about how they came up with the name COVID. We talk about the whole background to that. We cover predictive programming. So many different books and TV shows and films and even cartoons kind of predicted this, what was coming. We cover all that. We cover something that was called Event 201 and Clade X, which were exercises, pre-pandemic exercises that laid out exactly what was going to happen. A few months before. We talk about all the personalities behind it, such as Gates and Fauci and people like that, and the background to them and how they were deeply involved and all the other evil stuff they've been up to in their lives. We talk about masks and the significance of those, both literally and metaphorically, the actual symbolism of masks and how that was all engineered. We talk about mind control, social engineering. We include 5G in there as well, because, I think this is definitely connected to 5G in some way. We cover that in massive detail as well. Elon Musk and his part of it and part in it just the whole virus thing, every aspect of the virus you could possibly imagine, the organizations behind it, the CDC, how it connects into AIDS and SARS, all that kind of stuff. And then we talk about vaccines and the history of vaccines, the whole science or fake science behind vaccines, and again how that's been used to destroy humanity over generations and over centuries. You know, the origins of all that. We talk about the depopulation agenda, and the final chapter is about the coming human and financial reset, which is, you know, Klaus Schwab's great reset, if, in effect, you know, and exactly how that's going to affect us. And then, you know, that we conclude by saying, this is where we're at now. At this point in time, this is a snapshot of the last 2 years. Here is where we believe we are heading unless we stop them. And, you know, that's kind of, in effect, the lead into the next book. So in a very, very tiny nutshell, you know, that's what the book is all about. And, you know, we cover every single possible aspect of it and tie it all in together and show how it's all been done, you know, in like I say, in matters of detail.
That's right, John. We've got a few minutes left, but AIDS was a big one as well. We've been having conversations about this, absolutely huge. And, you know,
who was involved in that? Fauci.
Exactly the same system, though, as well. You know, exactly. But if you look at gay men in the 80s, even the late 70s into the 80s in the United States and these parts, they had a terrible promiscuous lifestyle, terrible, unhealthy, polluted cities, terrible diet, drug use, unprotected anal sex, all of this. And when they started scaring people about HIV and AIDS, you know, and these men were sick for so many different kinds of reasons, well, of course, and I'm just covering this very fast, but they would go in and the doctor would say, well, you'd have HIV. And, you know, you would have to take this whole cocktail of drugs. This is what they said in Africa as well to people who were starving and, and didn't have water and everything. But the drugs, the toxic drugs, caused the AIDS-like symptoms and made people sick and die. And so this
AZT
is the...
AZT, it was called. The drug, AZT.
Yeah, that's right. And they've done the same today. The media and the governments and everything, particularly... The media now, it's more than ever, they've scared people about a fake virus, a boogeyman virus. They've told people that you're going to get this, and they've gone and they've rushed in and they've got a jab. Now they're starting to become sick. A lot of people are dying quickly. A lot of people are getting sick after the jabs, but most of the people are getting incrementally ill over the next few years. And that's why they're building new, you know, Moderna manufacturing facilities here. They're building a new Moderna facility here in Melbourne. Why are they doing that? Well, now they're telling you that the new frontier of COVID is actually people who have suffered from COVID. So they're calling it long COVID. So, you know, I'm guessing from what I'm seeing, people are going to start, you know, they're going to be ill in the coming years. And, you know,
it's brilliant, isn't it? I mean,
it's a brilliant idea, John. Because I was thinking to myself, how are they going to keep continuing to jab people? People don't want more than one or two. They're not a prick cushion, but how do you continuously jab people if we were looking at that? Well, if you're sick, if you're sick, then you're dependent on this medical cartel. You're dependent on this system. And if they come up with these new mRNA jabs, which they're doing, well, welcome to the experiment, folks. This is where we go into the next part of the experiment. That's what I've been saying. And they continue with the new jabs on people who are not well, who are suffering. So that's why they're doing it. And it's unbelievable. It's so cunning and manipulative, and it's so frustrating that more people can't see it. But we can see it, and that's the important thing, John. But it's the same system. It's just more technical now. They did the same exact thing with AIDS. They scared the hell out of everybody. And it goes back to the so-called Spanish flu that wasn't even from Spain. We talked about that. They've done it right throughout history, and it's all about fear, maintaining control, scaring the hell out of people to indoctrinate them into this system. And now, unfortunately, you know, many people have had these jabs, John, and they may feel okay now, and I hate to say it, but it is a worry for me that we could be facing a tsunami of ill health and worse in the coming years. And these people, John, are going to be reliant on the drug companies for their jabs, aren't they? So what a business model.
Exactly. Well, I mean, this is all, you know, it's all part of the depopulation agenda as well. You know, for anyone who's not aware out there, that I'm sure most people are that listen to this, but, you know, Agenda 21 asks for a 95% reduction in the world population, which would bring it down to about 500 million. I notice that these people who are perpetrating this stuff are not, rushing to volunteer their families for this great cull that's coming. But again, this is all part of it. The vaccines are all part of that. They are attempting to reduce the population drastically. There's no question about that. It's not even up for debate. It's documented. It's happening. Agenda 21, 2030 is predicting a depopulation of around 95%. So, the jabs and all the health problems associated with them are all part of it. They can't just kill everybody. They've got to make it look like it's a normal, natural thing that's going on, and this is exactly how they're doing it.
That's right. I have that feeling as well, John, that the young people, as we talked about with you, who are actually surviving through this and these newer jabs, maybe this is all part of the experiment as we give birth to this new human, which won't be human.
Exactly.
It'll be transhuman, right? Because obviously they
Exactly.
go, I mean, we already know that they've got new MR, they're going beyond mRNA jabs. No, that was the first part of it. And a lot of
Yes.
people are going to be killed off and be made sick. And
Yes.
then when those people are sick, they're going to test new ones on them, and those people who do make that, and a lot of people will get those new ones and they'll die off. And a lot of
Yeah.
people who struggle through, they'll keep testing. And I think it's just one big massive experiment as they
Yeah.
wipe away our souls, basically, and if,
Sure.
as you said, if we don't stop it, now, if we don't wake up and stop this, boy, and it's just it's really frustrating to see people in masks. Still,
I know. I know.
it's very frustrating. But as we finish up here, it's just incredible that this book, Welcome to the Masquerade, that we're promoting tonight, Prelude to the Great Reset, will just tie up that, but it's incredible that this is already planting seeds, John, for your next work, because
Yes.
there's just so much, isn't there? There's so
Yes.
much that goes on in the brain as you start to. Isn't it true, John, that once you start to see the matrix and see through it, and it's all through the having that key of awareness, it just breaks down in front of you and you get downloaded with all this information, but you feel like that information was already in you. It's just
Yes.
that you were blocked off from it.
Absolutely.
That's their mission, to stop you seeing from, stop you seeing the truth of who you really are. But once you see that, it all just fades away, and it's unbelievable. So I can understand where you are, brother. You probably got a lot of stuff going on in your mind, leading up to the next books. But to finish off on this book, John, I'll ask you two questions. Anything you want to finish on in regards to promoting the book or tell our listeners, but also for those listeners out there, can they get a signed copy? If we're in Australia, for all our listeners in Australia, can they get, or when can they get a signed copy from you, and how do they do that?
Okay, I mean, yes, it is possible to get a signed copy, but the problem is because of the size of the book, the postage. I mean, I'd have to actually have it in my physical possession first of all to sign it. So then it would entail me posting that out to them. So A, it would t probably I don't know how long it takes the post from UK to Australia, but I can't imagine it's that rapid anymore, even if it ever was. So yeah, it's there would be a time factor involved, but more importantly, there would be a postage cost, which I'm guessing, because this is a weighty book, would be huge.
It's
So
like a brick.
it's about the weight of a brick, actually, seriously, and it's slightly bigger than a brick. So it would be a logistical problem, but if anybody is really, really desperate for a signed copy, then yeah, by all means, email me, and I will post it out to you. But I'd obviously have to, charge you for the postage. And I have absolutely no idea how much that would be.
How would
But
they
if
pay
anyone
you,
wants me
John?
to
Do
find out,
they pay you like a PayPal or something?
pay by PayPal would be absolutely fine. Yeah, I would. Again, a bank transfer is not really practical, is it? Because of the international banking system and the way that works. takes about 2 weeks, doesn't it, for funds to be transferred these days.
So just email and then you'll email them back with your PayPal, and then you can send it to them if they want that directly from you, the author, and signed. To pay a little bit extra.
No problem doing it. The only problem.
Yeah, I understand.
Is the postage cost? And I mean, if it anybody wants to email me and ask me to find out what the postage cost is, then I will do that.
I'd say it'd be around $30 Australian.
You reckon? Okay.
Maybe 20 or 30 or more. Yeah. But you know, some people might want that. That's okay.
I wouldn't charge full price for the book in that case.
No, but the postage is heavy. Yeah, I've had it before.
I would give you a discounted price on the book itself, because obviously the books don't cost me the retail price. The retail price is the retail price. I get them substantially cheaper than that. So I would allow some discount if anybody really wanted to do that. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I guess it's just for folks who don't like Amazon or whatever and prefer to get it from you yourself personally, and that means that you actually go down and mail it to them. And I'm sure, you know, folks in Australia, for example, wouldn't mind that at all, to pay an extra 15 or 30 bucks. Maybe I wouldn't say it's any more than that, but I'm not sure, because it's pounds. So, you know, it's UK money. So, but it's just worth mentioning as well. So I'll put John's email up. So, for folks who want to do that, but it's early days. It is early days. So the book will be out in full soon for Kindle and everything, I'm assuming, John.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, I mean, the paperback version is available now, but the Kindle version won't be available until next week, because that's an entirely different process, a separate different process of getting that published. So that will be around sometime next week, but depending on when this goes out, I'm not sure when this broadcast will go out, Adam, but I take it it's not live, is it? No. So it could well be out by the time you put it out there. I don't know, but people just have to keep looking on my author page, and when it's ready, it will just appear, and I won't get any notification that it's appeared. It will just appear. So. But I mean, I've got my own proof copy of the book here. I could take it down to the local post office and say, how much would it cost to send this to Australia? And then I could let you know, and you could put it on your website if you wanted me to do that. I don't mind doing that.
Yeah, I'll add it in. The podcast will be up by then, but I'll just add it in. Yeah. I'll link it in.
Yeah, all right, mate.
That's fine. But I know there'll be listeners who will want it pretty quickly, and they don't mind paying. So getting it from you personally when it comes. So when do you actually get a what do you actually get, John? Like, do you get sent a pile, or? Like for yourself at home?
I just order them.
You just order,
However many I need, you know. There's about 50 back orders waiting for it at the moment. So, you know, I shall be doing that probably in back end of this week, getting that order in. So I will be ordering a huge batch of them, basically. Yeah.
All right, very exciting times. John's got some a busy day, so we'll let you go, John. Anything you want to quickly mention before you plug out tonight, today for you?
I just end as I always do on these occasions, these podcasts, and just say to everyone, you know, it all sounds very, the future sounds very bleak. I don't want to be, spreading doom and gloom. I'm just trying to be a realist. But, I think we will beat these people. I always end up by saying this, but I really do believe it. I just feel it in my water. It's not got, you know, what they're trying to do to us, trying to destroy the human race as we know it, isn't going to happen. You know, all I'm talking about is their plans here, not the reality of what I believe is going to happen, because I believe they will be stopped. I think this will be a bridge too far for them. So I don't want anybody out there to, you know, suffer from depression as a result of listening to this. Just keep positive, stay safe, you know, look after your families, and all will be well. I'm absolutely convinced.
Absolutely. And it's an important part. We have to face all this, and we have to, we understand, and we know it anyway. We're already prepared. This is what they're trying to strip away, folks. It's the magic of what we know. You know, we're tough and we understand all this. And there's no, you know, it's important times and important work, John. Absolutely 100%. As we move forward here, and very exciting. Very exciting. Finally, the book's out. That's great to chat with you about that tonight. Absolutely thank fantastic you. Times. And we love our books. That's great. And I know a lot of our listeners do. And they would just love that more warm approach of getting that from you yourself and having that signed and everything. Okay. So I'm just putting that out there for our listeners, guys. And if you need any more information, just email me through the website and I can contact John if needed. You've got a busy day, John, so enjoy that.
Yeah.
And we'll chat again next month, hopefully. I'll let you know, see what day you might be available. Probably towards middle or end of next month. We'll plug in again and cover all the latest and see how the book's been going and sort of cover it again a little bit.
Great. Because
you'll know a lot more. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, buddy.
Brilliant, mate. Thanks a lot.
Okay, take care. Chat again soon.
Bye-bye.